Amen. Hey, is anybody glad that Christmas is over? Maybe you are. Yeah. Somebody said yes there. Somebody said yes. The food is good, but we get too full, don't we? Get too full. So maybe you're already thinking about a gym membership. One of the guys is already thinking about that. Maybe some people laughing, they're already thinking about that. Maybe thought about that last year, and it didn't work out the way that they hoped for. But hey, let's just pray for a second. Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's here today. Thank you, Lord, that when we're in your presence, there's fullness of joy, Lord. And I pray for an overflow of joy, even right now, Lord, if we're not experiencing it so far, that we would experience it right now. I thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of God is hope, peace, righteousness, peace, and joy, Lord. And I pray this morning that we would just know your righteousness, that we would know your peace, but absolutely that we would know your joy, because you're a God who overflows in us. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that we don't have to just have enough, but we can have more than enough, because our God is so good, he causes us to overflow so that we can make a difference and have an impact to the world around us. Lord, I pray that no matter what we've been facing, no matter what we face, Lord, no matter what we're going into, that we would know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's be joyful in the Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you would just refill us and give us more and give us more in your precious name. Lord, we love you. Pray you just give us ears to hear this morning. Open up our hearts, Lord, that we can receive from you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're glad to be here. So we've come to the end of a year, and I guess Sunday falls on the 31st, New Year's Eve, and maybe you're excited for a new year, maybe you're not. Some people like New Year's, some people don't. Some people are maybe glad that this year is over. Maybe some people wish it would continue. Maybe you're just desperate for the new year to come because of the new opportunities that you hope that would bring. You know, the truth about it is that God, he's really more concerned about every day. He's really more concerned about every day, that we would seize every day and live every day and take the goodness of every day rather than hoping for a new year. Now, we can hope for that, and that's fine, and God's not against us in that, but he says there's new opportunities every day. In fact, every day that we go to sleep, when we wake up the next day, we've got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And we get some people that take it to the extreme and go, well, I'm going to use every single minute, and I'm going to pack my day, and I'm going to achieve so much. And of course, what God is saying to us this morning, it's not even so much about achieving our performance, but it's just about you being on the right path, following after God and going for God. And so maybe you're here at the end of a new year and you're thinking, look, I really do need a new year. That's fine. Take it. Take it this morning. And maybe you need it as a fresh start. Many people take the new year as a fresh start because you're like, you know what? I need a fresh start. I need a restart. Has anybody ever used a computer here? I'm sure you have. Then you will be fully aware that on most occasions, a restart can fix many problems. A restart can fix many problems. There are many times, I used to work in like an IT place not far from here, and a lot of the times the computers would come in, and not always, a lot of it was just viruses and spam and stuff like that. But a lot of the times it was just, it needed a good restart. It needed a good refresh. That's all that it needed. And so a lot of the times when you go meet someone and say, hey, what do you think's wrong with my computer? I'm like, did you give it a restart? Because sometimes that can make a big difference. It's like you got a problem with any kind of technology. Sometimes, just like us, it gets clogged up and it needs a restart. Or if you've been playing some games over Christmas, which I kind of have, not too many, because you can't have too many, but playing the PS4, trying to get a couple hours in here or there type of thing, enjoying a wee game, it's the only time I get to play, and then it'll be next year. But the thing that we used to do years ago, and actually Mark's here today, and he'll remember this, we used to play the football. And whenever you were playing the football on the PS4, and you're playing FIFA, or you're playing whatever game you want to play, you wanted to win the World Cup. That was the goal, or you wanted to win the championship, whatever it was. But unfortunately, sometimes what happened was you'd be so excited for the final, you'd get to the semi-final and you'd maybe lose your cool and you'd be 2 goals down and you know in 10 minutes to go, you're never going to get the 2 goals back. And so what happened, Mark and I, on many occasions, was we would fire the remote across the room, but that didn't solve the problem. The best solution was this, just turn the game off quick. Turn the game off quick, don't save it, restart it, and start the game as if it never happened. And you might have had to do that a few times, but the outcome was this. We got to the final, and we won the World Cup. And that's all that matters. That is all that matters. And maybe this morning, you need a restart, and you've thought, well, restart seems like cheating. It's not. Use it for your benefit, and use it for God's glory if you need to, because sometimes a restart can be your absolute best friend. And when it comes to us as people, as individuals, there's just times where we need restarts because we've been having some fun for a minute, but maybe your 2017 has not been fun. It's been an absolute disaster. And what you're really hoping for is that 2018 would be better. The truth is, God says, know that if I'm with you, I'm for you and not against you. And if I'm with you, then who can be against you? And if I'm with you, then all the bad that has come against you, I'll use it for your benefit. In fact, I'll even turn it around for your good. Our God is an incredible God. But maybe this morning, you simply need a restart, and I encourage you to take it. PlayStation needs it, PC needs it, and maybe your life needs it. But I was just thinking about this. I thought to myself, we're going to read a couple of verses in a moment, but I was thinking about three kind of quick keys as we go for a restart. And hopefully they're from biblical principles. Three quick keys is that if we're going to do a restart, then we need to do a regroup. We need to take stock of what we have. Because the last thing we want to do is when we restart is to repeat the same mistakes or to go round in circles. And so we got to take stock of what we have and we decide what we're going to let go and what we're going to keep. If you've had to restart your computer with an issue, then you'll know that when you hit restart, sometimes you haven't saved, it'll pop up and go, do you want to save this document? And then you've got the dilemma of, do I save it or not? Do I keep it or not? And maybe it's a good dilemma to have because a lot of the occasions you go, no, I don't need that document, so I click no, and then I regret it later. No, you hope that it's an okay thing. And the computer restarts, and you're like, yeah, it's all good, it's fine. But this morning, you got to take stock, you got to regroup, you got to take stock. Maybe you have to count your blessings this morning. Because we all love a restart, but it's important to count your blessings. That even in the midst of what you've been going through, I wonder what God was doing. I wonder what I could learn from that trial. I wonder what I could learn from the battle that I faced. And that's such a good thing to think about whenever we go through the battles, whenever we go through the trials, whenever we go through the difficult seasons. What is God teaching me? What is God trying to get through to me? I wonder, am I staying in this battle because God's still trying to teach me something? I wonder, is this battle taking longer than I hoped for because God's trying to reveal something of him to me? And of course, the number one thing that God's trying to reveal to us is his absolute love. Maybe you got to let it go. Maybe there's regrets, there's mistakes, there's hurts. You've had regrets, you've had mistakes, you've had hurts this past year, and you simply have to let those things go, let go of them, give them up. And maybe you've been holding on to them. Maybe you've been thinking, I'm going to make it right, I'm going to turn it around. I mean, there's some things we just have to give away. We've got to give them away to God because we cannot resolve them. We cannot fix them. And then the third quick thing is that we've got to act. Maybe we've got to make some changes. Maybe we've decided some things. We're regrouping. We're taking stock. We're having no regrets anymore. We're letting go of that shame. But then we have to say, right, what's my new steps? What's my new action so I don't repeat the cycle, so I don't go back around in a circle again? And maybe you got to take some new actions. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure you can very quickly think of them. Maybe it's diet. Maybe it's fitness. Maybe it's like, I'm determined to read my Bible this year. That's the way most people start off. I'm determined to read my Bible this year. I'm going to get a reading plan, and I'm going to go for it. Great desires, great, absolutely great things. But sometimes even good intentions, sometimes is not enough. And in those, we got to always remember to do it in God's strength. We've got to ask him for his help. And so 2017, I wonder what it was like. Maybe you're looking forward to 2018 thinking it's going to be even better. Let's hope so. But here's what Psalm 46:10 says this morning. It says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. God is saying this morning, be still. When you think about that for a moment, it's like, it almost feels like a command. It's like God saying, be still and know that I am God. In other words, can we know God if we're not still? Sometimes not. Because I wonder what that be still means. I'm going to suggest that it means this, is that if we're not still, we're still in control. When I'm still, I'm giving up control, and I'm giving it to God. The number one thing that we're fighting for all of the time is control. I want to hold on to it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to make it better. And then we come to the end of our tether, or we come to the end of our rope, and we go, I just give up. I cannot do it. And sometimes we end up holding on too long to control, and we get to a place of disaster. We get to a place of brokenness. We get to a place of just feeling crushed. And God says this morning, you know what I really love is that you would come and be still and know that I am God. Almost like a command, that you would just give up control, that you would give him, surrender to him, allow him to take control, and in that you'll know his goodness. In that you'll know that he is God, because God is the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. He holds your life, he holds your issues, he holds your emotions, he holds every single thing that you face and every single thing that you will face. And maybe the same people you've got issue with, he's holding them in his hand too, but he wants us to give control over to him. And so maybe you're here at the end of the year, and maybe one of the biggest things, but it'll be the hardest thing, is to let go and give God control and say, God, take it. You've got to take it now. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to be still. I'm maybe going to be quiet. I'm going to let you take it. Because I need you to be God. Because if you do, look what it says. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, God will be lifted up. And here's the goodness of our God. As he is lifted up, he will lift us up. And instead of us trying to promote ourselves or trying to lift ourselves out of the swamp or trying to lift ourselves out of the mess that we've maybe tried to and we find it too hard, he will actually lift us up. So as we will be still, give our problems, our issues to God, as we will give him control in our lives, as we would surrender, God will lift us up. The outcome is incredible hope. As we would surrender to God, as we would follow his command, as we would be still, the outcome would be incredible hope. Just a God hope that says, it will happen. He will lift me up. And again, you know what your 2017's been like. You know what your year has been like. Maybe you're in a place where you need God to lift you up. Maybe you're in a place where I really need God to clean some things up. I really need God to fix some things for me. There's some things that are in a mess. There's some things that have just been swirling, and I've been trying to put them in order. I've been trying to put them in sequence, and the more that I try, it feels like the more it becomes a disaster. You know, like some of those things you see, and the more you try to do, the more it just falls apart. The more you try to do it, the more you just seem to break something, the more something else seems to go wrong. You know, sometimes in those situations, the more you try to do good, it seems to be the worse you become, or the badder you look type of a thing. The worse you, the more you say, the worse it becomes. And God says this morning, I want you to be still and know that I am God. And the outcome will be a constant hope. He'll lift us up as he lifts himself up, because he'll be exalted in the nations. And of course, our goal is to worship God. But as we're still and know that he is God, that's part of our worship. He will be lifted up. Automatically, part of our worship will be, he will be exalted. He will be lifted up. And so if we're here this morning, we're thinking fresh start. We're thinking, okay, I'm ready for a fresh start. I want to grab that fresh start. I want to take that fresh start. Well, then what is my purpose? What is my purpose in that start? Because I think it's really important that we think about our purpose. We think about, what am I going after? What are the goals? What are the purposes that I'm trying to achieve in this fresh start? Because again, if I don't think about that, I may end up repeating the mistakes of the past. And there's nothing wrong about making mistakes as long as we learn from them. As long as we say, right, okay, what did I learn from that? I'll go again. And sometimes we do, unfortunately, go around in a few circles to try to get to the straight line and to try to get ahead. And in those circles, we learn things, and God's teaching us, and he's equipping us things, and he's showing us things. But it's a place that we don't want to live. It's a place that we want to learn and move on from. And so maybe as you're here at the end of the year, you're looking for a fresh start, but to what purpose? Here's what Luke 9:62 says. Love this verse. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. What an interesting verse. Maybe a verse you're thinking, "Whoa, I'm not sure what that means." Okay, let's think about it for a moment. It's not a question of salvation, so we got to rule that one out straight away. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom. It's not salvation, but rather motivation. What are we heading for? What are we going for? God understands this morning that it's really hard to go forward if you're always looking back. It's really hard to use what you have to use in front of you if you're constantly always looking behind. Because unfortunately, we're not like those weird insects that have eyes on the side of our head. We've got them in the front of our head, which means we can only look one place at one time. It's just one direction. That's the only way I can look. I'm either looking here or I'm looking back there. God designed. He knows what he's doing. And so I cannot sit in the middle and try to look both ways. It's just too difficult. And God is saying this morning, if you want to get ready for service in the kingdom, if you want to get ready for your purpose, which is being a disciple, which is being a follower of Jesus, hopefully that is your goal this morning. If you're a Christian, it's to become Christ-like. If you're a follower of Jesus, hopefully it's because you want to follow him. And so maybe part of your mission, maybe your mission is, you've decided, I'm going to live for the kingdom of God. Hopefully that is your plan. And if that is your plan, then God says this morning, it's really hard to go forward if you're always looking back. It's really hard to move forward if your direction is always going back. Even in simple, practical things. If I'm trying to do something and I'm working here, but I'm always conscious of what's going on behind, I'm distracted. I maybe make a mistake. I maybe miss the thing I'm waiting for. I maybe miss the thing that I was after. I fully can't get a hold of what I'm trying to achieve because I'm always looking behind. And a couple of points this morning is that it talks about the plow. It talks about the plow this morning, and it says this. It's a link to a harvest. Because we think about the farmer, it says hand to the plow, and we think about a farmer, and we think about a harvest, and when we think about a harvest, we think about fruit. And the purpose that God has for us as Christians this morning is that we would be workers in the vineyard, that we would be laborers in the field, and in that, God would produce much fruit through us. So what about us this morning as we serve God, as we go for God, as we're looking forward to a new year? What are my goals? What are my intentions? What are my plans? And God's hope and his desire this morning is that your goals would be his, is that your goals would be him. They wouldn't be other things, because other things want to distract us. They want to dismay us. They want to mess up our year like it did last year, maybe, if that was what you find, if that's how it turned out for you. But God says this morning, I want you to know, if you're a people working for the kingdom, then you have a purpose, there is a plan, there is a destiny, and we've got to work for the harvest. God says the plow is a link to the harvest. In other words, we have a purpose. In the midst of all that, we have a purpose. He has a plan for us. He has a destiny. And of course, the plow is amazing when we think about it, because when the plow goes through the ground, what does it ultimately do? It takes the soil that's on top and it turns it upside down. And there's maybe things in your life where you just need things to be turned upside down. Maybe you just need things to just do a 180 and just start over. And as the plow goes through, as you keep your focus on that, as you keep your hand on that, things are going to be turned upside down. And the things that were underneath will come to the surface, and the dead that was on the top will go underneath. And God says this morning, there's a beautiful image in the plow, because as we plow our field, as we plow the fields of our lives, as we plow on with God, as we go for him, we're turning things up, we're disturbing things, we're creating fresh soil, we're making it ready for the harvest, we're making it ready for much fruit. And so you're here this morning and you're thinking, right, what is my purpose? But maybe we're getting stuck in the past. And when we think about our past, again, I don't want to disrupt our past in the sense of, I don't want to wipe out our past and say it was no good, but I want us to realize there's a time and a place for our past, and then there's a time to move on. I read a couple of things this week, and it said that the past is a great teacher, but it's a horrible master. I thought that's so true. It's a great teacher, but it's a horrible master. In other words, we can learn so much from the past, but I don't want it to control me. We can learn so much from it, and it can teach me so many things, and I can remember, okay, I did this yesterday, so I'm not going to do that today in the hope that I get a different outcome. Or I did something yesterday, and it worked out really well. Maybe I'll try it the same way again today. So it's a great teacher, but it's a horrible master, because it also it wants to control you if it can. It wants to control you and say, oh, things were never as good as they were back then. It wants to convince you of things like that. It wants you to think of, oh, you'll never get past what you did before. No one's ever going to forgive you for that. You'll never be any different. Past wants to become a master, but really it only needs to be a teacher where we can learn from it. The past is also great for memories. It's also great for moments. It's also great for remembering back at things. You know, like Christmas, maybe you bring out the photo albums, you remember things, photos, memories. I listened to a program this week on the radio. It said this, is that kids, as much as they love the toys, what they really are after is just the moments. It's kind of the atmosphere. It's maybe that one big toy, but after that, it's just, what was the atmosphere like? What was the environment like? It's those moments that we capture on film or our pictures or just in our mind, and we try to remember back at them. The past is good for that, but it's always behind. It's never making anything new. It's never making new material. And so again, past can be a friend, but it can also be a burden if it's not allowing us to move on with our lives. And God is here this morning. He says, I want to use every single drop from your past to give you a great present and looking forward to the future. I don't want you to live in the past. I don't want you to always be held by the past, but I want you to move on and take all of that, and I'll use all of that, and I'll take all of that for your gain and for your glory, because I'm a good God. And God is here this morning. He says, hey, I love the past because it speaks of history, but the past is always looking back, and God says this morning, I want us to look forward. I want us to move forward. I want us to keep moving forward. And God is here this morning. He wants to remind us of that. Again, no matter what has happened, take the good and leave everything else. Keep the memories. Allow God to use them, transform them, but keep moving forward in his strength, because he is a good God. Second thing, we talk about the plow, and the second thing is this. Is the plow, when I think back to the plow, and I feel like this is one that reminds us about our past. Is that when I think about the plow, I think about the Old Testament, I think about Elijah and Elisha. I think about way back, and I think, God, what are you trying to teach us through this story in the present? What are you trying to teach me in this? And think back to Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah comes to the prophet, and he's an old man, and he comes to find the new guy on the block. Comes to find the new guy. And he comes to find Elisha, and what's he doing? He's plowing, he's farming, he's harvesting. He's doing what he knows. He's doing what God has taught him. He's doing what his dad has probably taught him. He's just getting on with the business of earth. And Elisha comes to him, he says, hey, but God's put a call in your life, and you're going to follow after me now. And the thing I love about the story is this, is Elisha takes his plow, and what does he do? He doesn't put it up for sale. He actually burns it. And maybe this morning, the biggest thing that we need to do is set fire to our past and let it go and just let it disappear and let it get out of the way. And I believe one of the biggest lessons that God is trying to teach us from that story is this, is that if we don't, then when the troubles come, you may be tempted to go back to the plow instead of staying with your purpose, your new purpose in God. And God is saying this morning, there are things you did before, maybe even good things, great things. They fulfilled your livelihood. They give you money. They allowed you to put bread on the table, food on the table. I'm sure that's what Elisha did with it. But when God's call came, he decided to give all of that up. In fact, he burned it. He says, I'm never going back to that. I've got a new purpose. My past is gone. I don't ever want to go back there. I don't want to ever live there again. I'm moving forward. I'm setting fire to that. And maybe this morning, maybe you know what that is. Maybe you know what the things are in your life that you need to deal with, that you need to give to God and almost set fire to them. Be still and know that I am God. Give God control of that. And what are those things this morning that you need to give God? Because if you do, it will transform your present and it'll just be so exciting for your future. What are the things that we need to set fire to? I'm going to read the first part of the verses from 57 down to 61. I think it's really important just to put 62 into context. Here's the important thing about when we come to Christ. When we come to Jesus, and again, thinking about our years, when we come to Jesus, we think, right, God, I'm coming just as I am, and absolutely we can. And we come to Jesus, and he takes us, and he takes our mess, and then he starts to transform us, and then he starts to work with us. This is one of the most amazing things about Jesus, one of the most amazing things about our faith. But also inside of that, what we have to remember is that there's cost involved. And so as we come to God, we say, yeah, God, I come free to you. And it's absolutely amazing because Jesus paid the highest price. But when we start to live for God, we start to realize very quickly there is cost involved. There's things that we have to give up. There's things from our past that we have to let go of. There's things that God requires of us. And verses 57 start to contextualize that. It says this, as they were walking along the road, the disciples, a man said to them, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Seem like really harsh verses that Jesus has given these new disciples or would-be disciples. Seems like almost like he's trying to put them off. I feel what Jesus is saying this morning, what he wants to reveal to us and what he wants to remind us of is that to follow after him is the highest calling. There's sacrifice involved. There's things that we're going to have to give up. In fact, it's so much so that we'll put everything in the balance to Jesus. Everything will be in a balance to him. He's not saying that you have to hate your mom and dad. He's not saying you have to give up your sons and your daughters, your brothers and sisters, all of that. It's not necessarily that, but what he's saying is you got to put that all in the balance towards God because inevitably there will be times where we have to hold everything we hold dear against how much do we love the Lord. How much are we for him? How far are we going for him? How far are we willing to commit to him? How far does my faith stretch? And of course, inside of that, we know that the goodness of God says that no matter what you would give up for me, there'll always be multitude in return. And even if you don't get it here, you'll absolutely get it there with Jesus in heaven forever. But he wants us to be realistic. He wants us to know there's a cost involved. Just in the same way as he demonstrated that cost as he went to the cross, there's a cost for us. And of course, Luke tells us because it says if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to pick up your cross, you got to deny yourself, you got to follow after me, which is not something that we like, but it's so important that we remember it, and it's so important that we recognize it. There are battles that we face, there are trials that we face, and we will not win in every single situation, but if we have Christ, we have everything. And God is saying this morning, I want you to be mindful. I want you to know that there are times whenever we have to hold everything we hold dear up to our love for Christ. And know that even in that, he is greater. And he's a restorer. And he's a redeemer. And he turns the bad into good. But the devil's going to come, and he's going to try and test us. He's going to try and strip us away. He's going to try and destroy us. He's going to kill us. That is his ultimate end, and that is his ultimate goal. And his ultimate pursuit is this, that he would affect our relationship with God. He would affect our relationship that has transformed us, that it would affect our relationship. And again, this is so important as we go to 2018, because as we go to 2018, we want to learn from all the things that we've learned in the past. And so we go into it with a greater awareness that there are times that I will go through things that I do not like. But don't worry, God is still with me. There are times when I pray for things and I want a different outcome. But don't worry, God is still with me. I remember way back praying for my brother-in-law's dad, and he was dying of cancer. I remember all of us praying and praying and praying, and it felt like if a miracle was going to happen, it was absolutely going to happen now, because everybody was praying. At the end of it, he did not get healed, but he went to be with Jesus forever. Now, in those moments, it's those times where you realize there's a cost. There is a cost. There's a cost always in this life. There's a cost with everything that we do. But if we hold firm and keep our fix and keep our gaze on Jesus, then we know there's always an outcome. There's always God that's working for us. There's always a win. There's always God with me. There's always God walking with me. And so this morning, as we're mindful and we're thinking back, but we're looking forward to the future, we got to know that not everything we pray for works out the way that we desire. Not everything that we hope for turns out the way that we planned. But we know this, that God is working for our good. We know this, that God is with us. We know this, that God is encouraging us. We know this, that he's alongside of me all the way. And if we be still and give him control, then he will be exalted. And as he is exalted, he will lift us up. See, guys, this morning God has given us an incredible intelligence. He's given us incredible minds that we can think things out, that we can rationalize things. But unfortunately, sometimes we come to Christ and we come with a mindset of, it's all going to be plain sailing after this. And I'm sure all of us could smile or laugh or respond, but we all know this, that if you've journeyed with God for any length of time, you know that it's not all plain sailing. There are trials. It does not mean that God is against you. But it is a constant reminder that we live in a broken world full of sin. But be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. And we are here this morning, and we're realistic. There are some of us that are here that are broken. There are some of us here that are bruised. There are some of us that are not looking forward to 2018 for various different reasons. But if we understand God's heart and we understand where we sit in his heart, then we can keep taking another step. Then we can keep moving a tiny bit forward, even in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the hurt, because we know that God is with us. And this morning, we've been thinking, in this last few weeks, we've been thinking about it, God with us, Emmanuel. This morning, we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again, he is with me. And if he's not with you, ask him to come be with you. If you don't know him, ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to come into your life. I think one of the biggest things that we've got to do as Christians, and maybe this will be our first one on top of the list, is that we go as Christians into 2018, my number one desire is to be more real and more honest than ever before. I struggle with many different issues, but God is working with me. That is a big thing that we have to recognize in ourselves and we have to reference in ourselves. Because for too long, maybe we've tried to keep this persona, or maybe we've tried to keep up this kind of, personality that says, everything's okay for me. Everything's okay. Everything's good. I just cruise on through. But we know full well that I don't cruise on through. You don't cruise on through. There's no point bluffing. There's no point faking it. We're not coming against God. In fact, we're trusting God all the more when we realize we face these trials, we face these tribulations, we go through challenges. But I know one thing's for sure, God loves it when a body comes together and recognizes each another's weaknesses, but brings them together and allows it to be a courage thing, allows it to be an improvement thing, allows it to be a thing where we rise up together because we're real with each other. And as we come into 2018, we've got to be honest. We've got to be real. There are battles that we will face. There are times where we will feel worn out, but hopefully there's another brother or sister who's come alongside us that will lift us up. There are times where we are worn out. We've spoken. Maybe you've been through 2017 like this, where you're like, God, are you even real? I've given you 20 years of my life. I've given you whatever. But God, where are you in this moment? Where are you here? And God says this morning, if you can keep holding, I'll reveal myself. I'll continue to reveal myself until you see me light and clear, until you know my love, until you know my touch. Keep holding on, keep going. But church, this morning, we got to be mindful. There's a cost. There's a battle. And in battle, there's pains. In battle, there's things that come against us. There's arrows. There's those fiery darts that the enemy talks about. But God says this morning, I am with you. Keep holding on. Keep going for me. Everything goes in the balance. We've got Jesus, but when we've got him, we can hold everything we hold dear to that and know that God is with me. And just as we're coming near the end, maybe our past and maybe our desire for a fresh start comes down to a big battle between two big enemies, fear and love. Maybe it comes down to simply this, fear and love. Maybe it comes down to this idea of, I don't really want to let go of my past because I'm worried there's nothing better for me in the future. There are times when we feel like that. Maybe you're here this morning in the situation that you're in, the issue that you've got, maybe the relationships you're connected to, and you're like, I don't want to let those things go, even though I know they're no good or that I could have better, because I'm worried I will not find better. And so I don't want to let that go. And God says this morning, ultimately that comes down to a battle of fear versus love, because I am with you. And if I am with you, my perfect love casts out all fear. Maybe we don't want to let go of what we have right now because we're not sure there's any better in the future. Maybe we're just not sure there's any better. Or maybe it comes down to something even greater than that. Maybe it comes down to, I feel like I don't deserve any better. I feel like the past is where I should be. I don't even know how I'm here. I feel like I don't even deserve what I've got right now. And God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody deserved it. Nobody deserved any of it. But because of his great grace, he called us. Because of his great grace, through faith, he has saved us. And so none of us are worthy. And maybe if we were more real, we would see each other's spots and wrinkles, and we'd realize, ha, thank goodness you're just like me. You're just like me. You can't get up most of the days either. You don't want to pray most of the days either. You don't want to pray more than 5 minutes either. It's okay. It's okay. And I think, you know what, if we were more real and more honest like that, we would encourage ourselves for greater things. Because that's when we start to be honest with ourselves and honest with everybody else. And then we start to come together like a body and go, do you know what, maybe together we could do this rather than doing it alone. And God is here this morning, and he's encouraging. He says, I am with you. I want you to get away from the mindset of I don't deserve or I'm not worthy. I want you to know that Jesus has made you worthy. Or maybe we're stuck in the conundrum, or we're stuck in a situation of it was my fault, and so how can I move on? It was my fault. It was this. It was that. And God says this morning again, I've taken all of those heavy burdens. I will take all of those heavy burdens if you would just make me Lord of your life. If you would give me those things that you cannot carry. If you would give me those hurts, those pains, that past, I'll take it from you and I'll give you a great purpose for the future. And God is here this morning and he just wants to continuously remind us that he has us. See, the truth is that our past and our identity are incredibly linked. They're incredibly linked. And no matter how bad our past has been, the one good thing, if you know Christ, it has led you to him. And if it hasn't yet, then allow your past to lead it to him. Because when you get to him, he will transform you. And he'll continuously transform you over and over and over and over again. He'll say, wow, I will take away your sins. I'll give you a right relationship with me. But then I'll just continuously transform you day after day after day. He is an incredible God. Can we stand together? I'm going to read one more verse as we're just standing in his presence this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that in him we're new creations. But I love what the Amplified says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. See, the truth is that we can let go of our past because we no longer are our past. We are new creations in Christ if we know him. If you don't know the Lord this morning and you're struggling with your past, then come to him. He won't just take it away. He'll make you brand new. He'll take it away, but he'll make you brand new, so you're no longer the same person. So you've got to fight to do the old things because you're no longer the same person anymore. That's the truth of salvation. And God is saying this morning that you are a new creation in me. Remind yourself of that. Activate that in your life. Remind yourself of that in faith. And if you've forgotten that, receive it again in faith. And if you don't know that, then receive it this morning with the tiny bit of faith that you might have that says, well, what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to give my life to God. And God is here this morning saying, hey, I've begun a good work in you. and I'm going to see it come through. I'm going to bring it to the very end. You are a new creation. You can let go of your past because it's no longer yours. It's mine, says the Lord. And I nailed that past to the cross and cried out, it is finished. Come on, let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you this morning that there's so much that we can learn from our past. But Lord, we don't want to live there. We don't want it to continuously impact our future in a negative way. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would realize that as new creations in Christ, Lord, that we no longer own our past, so stop bringing it up again. Stop picking it up. Let it go. Let all of those things just be dead and gone. They're dead things. I'm now alive in Christ. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would know your fullness, that we would know your glory. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if we need a restart, that we would take it. And a restart sometimes fixes things like we wouldn't believe. Sometimes we just need a good night's sleep and we're a different person. Sometimes we just need to change a job and we're a different person. Sometimes we just need a change in our life and it impacts us in incredible ways that we never thought possible. Lord, I pray this morning that you would come and you're revealing to us, Lord, Holy Spirit, the things that we need to change, the things that we need to give up. Lord, maybe we just need to hold firm today. Maybe we just need to have patience in the midst of the process. Because God has this. But I'm always worrying. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would have patience in the midst of the process. You talked earlier about harvest. But the truth about harvest is it takes months to come. Maybe even in our lives it's taken years to come. But Lord, I know this. That you're on the case. And as long as I keep giving it to you, you've got control. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, as we're standing to worship, Lord, as we're mindful and thoughtful, thinking about all the things that God has done for us, that we're saying this, Lord, I want to learn to give you more control, God. I want to learn to give you more of my life. I want to learn to surrender more to you. Seems simple, but we know it's so, so difficult to work that out. But Lord, enable me through your Spirit to give you more. Enable me through your Spirit to give you more of me. Enable me by your Spirit this morning to let go of the things that would hurt me and hold me back. Lord, enable me this morning to let go of the past and pick up the purpose that you have got for me so I can pursue that. Lord, enable me this morning that I would put my hand in the plow in front of me. I would put my hand in the task, Lord. I would be that good and faithful servant that moves forward, not always worrying of what's behind, maybe the things that will get me, the things that will come back to haunt me, not worrying about those things because God has got them. But instead, this morning, I will keep focused on him because he is my purpose. And I'll keep my hand in the plow and I will move forward in him because I know he's a good God. Lord, I just thank you this morning for all that you're doing. Just thank you this morning, Lord, for how you're touching our hearts, Lord, and how you're making us brand new. And Lord, I pray this morning that if we don't know you or far from you, Lord, we make a great step to come back into your presence and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, we worship you today. We thank you, Lord. We give you so much praise. We just want to honor you, Lord, with our lives, Lord. And we thank you for our past year, Lord, but we're excited for our new year. And so, Lord, just bring us and carry us there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to worship. I know what's happening to worship, but we'll get there. Doesn't even matter. We'll sing anyway. But as we worship, we're going to do our offering this morning. We're going to give to God.